Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Hometown Roofing Pop and Pony Podcast, presented by Hometown Roofing. Put your trust in us and powered by Bowser Chevrolet. Here's Bob Pompieni from KDKA-TV and Andrew Filippone from 93.7 The Fan.
All right, everyone, welcome to our Pomp and Pony podcast this week. We always look for the best people we could find, the biggest names, and today we have one of the biggest names ever, I think. Paul Coffey, Hall of Fame defenseman, a guy who set this town on fire when he came to Pittsburgh. I remember the trade, but Coff, I want to thank you for taking the time, man. It's always good to talk to you.
I appreciate that. Yes, I am the biggest name today.
Well,
definitely not of all time, but no, I appreciate it. This is great.
No, I remember watching you play when you came here. We had obviously seen in Edmonton what you were capable of doing. But that trade, first of all, I want to start there because when that trade was made, you came here, you know, a situation where people were expecting Stanley Cups, and this team had not yet really captured that. You know what I mean? They were looking for that one piece. What was your take when you were when you came to Pittsburgh for the very first time?
Well, when the trade was announced to me, like the Monday night, and I came in on Tuesday, I was very excited. I think that the Oilers, as much as I loved Edmonton, the guys I played with, there was some battle with management, and there was no going back. And I think that I know that they wanted to send me to the worst place possible. Which, honest to God, when a trade happened, I couldn't be happier for two reasons. Always loved as a visiting player going into Pittsburgh. An incredible town, lots of good stuff, Steelers, lots of history. And 66, I just played the Canada Cup with Mario. I knew he was destined to be even better than he was when I got there. And, you know, the beauty of a guy like Mario and a guy like Wayne is their place in history was always going to be there. Mm-hmm. But winning a championship was going to make it even that much sweeter. And when your best player, who was Mario, as a desire and wants to win a Stanley Cup at any cost. I mean, I was just real excited to be a part of it.
Paul, when did you first, what was your first introduction to Mario Lemieux? When did he first get, you mentioned the Canada Cup, but when did he first get on your radar as a player?
Okay, that's a great story. Thanks for bringing that up. So we're playing in Montreal with the Oilers in, mm-hmm. I don't know, 83, 84, whatever heck it is. And Mario's agent, who was my agent, who was Wayne's agent, was Gus Padale. And Gus was in Montreal. And you got to remember, guys, this is early 80s. This is when you could walk around and do whatever you wanted. So yep. He said to me and Wayne, on the Friday night, we're playing the Canadians Hockey Night Canada on Saturday. Do you want to go watch this young kid we got that I have play? And we're like, yeah, that'd be great. What else are we going to do the night before a game, right? Mm-hmm. So we go watch the game. I remember like yesterday, Mario, we still laugh about it because it was a really small dressing room. You know, Mario, 6'4", 6'5". Anyway, his team wins 11-6. Mario gets like 6-4, or whatever the heck the number is. I think he missed out on one goal. So we go down to the dressing room, we meet him, and he comes out. He's got that great smile, and he still has it, but many moons ago, even younger. And kind of ducks his head under the door, didn't speak a whole lot of English, and just said, just with a smile, thanks for coming. I shook Wayne's hand, excited the whole bit. And I remember walking away from the game with Wayne and Gus and said to Gretz, pretty good game, huh? He goes, yeah. I said, yeah, but it's a different league up here. Do you think he can do it up here, being the NHL? Wayne just said, "Oh yeah, this kid's for real." Anyway, that was my first introduction to Mario, and then Canada Cup and being lucky to come to Pittsburgh. But Mario's one of those guys that's a big personality, not boisterous, but on the ice and carries a big stick. He let his hockey do the talking for him, and it was great to be a part of it.
You mentioned that Canada Cup. I remember that Canada Cup so vividly, and just the assortment of stars on the ice at the same time. I mean, that was that group of guys together. Is that one of your top memories as a hockey player? Just what you accomplished, but just so much talent. And how did you guys just come together as a team?
Well, I was lucky enough to be there in 84 as well for the Canada Cup. You have no time to come together. You've got 2 weeks. You're playing for the country. Everybody knows the pressure to win. And, the beautiful part about that whole tournament is, whatever, you had the Oilers, which were pretty established guys at the time, but all good guys, all team guys. And then you had a bunch of other great players from other teams that just came in and played their role. Like, Dale Hawerchuk being a third or fourth centerman, Doug Gilmore being a third or fourth centerman. These guys are all number ones on their team, but I got a great story at the end of the game. Not the end of the game, but the score is tied 5-5. Keenan puts out, and the faceoff's in our zone. So Keenan puts out me and Murph. Like, when would that happen in today's game? 5-5. For some reason, the today's coaches would outthink themselves and put on whatever, blah, blah, blah. Then he's got arguably the best centerman in the game, and Mark Messier on the bench. Mess just got off the ice. And Brett Sutter. Keenan yells out, "Gretzky, Lemieux, Hawerchuk." So Gretz and three centermen, and they got no idea where they're playing. Gretz hops over the boards, looks back. He says, "I'm not taking a draw." Mario goes in his beautiful smile. He goes, "It's not my side." So I guess Howard just got to take the faceoff because Mario would be stronger on his backhand to face off on the other side. So that's how they had a split second to figure it out.
Wow.
All Dale, the late great, God bless him, Dale Hawerchuk said was, "I'm going to tie the centerman. Come on in." So Mario, with a reach from here to Western Pennsylvania, came in, tipped the puck. Wayne got it. The rest is history. Do you guys remember that goal?
I do. You were too young, Andrew.
So I said,
you may have seen it, but
I was an embryo at that point. I think a chromosome, maybe.
Boys, you got to pull it up and look at it because Mario chips the puck. Wayne gets it. Murph, God bless him, could anticipate like nobody else. Couldn't beat me off the ice ever, but Murph was gone because Murph can anticipate like nobody else. Anyway, Wayne passes to Mario. Murph is wide open for a tip-in. And Bobby, you could have scored that. Mario had a pass. Mario being the great shooter he is, just put it in the top corner. I said to Mario years later, "If that was me standing there where Murph was, would you gave it to me?" He goes, "We'll never know." we'll never know, with that little smile. But it was that was the coming out party for Mario. Just being a quiet leader, a great player he was. He just sat back and watched everything everything that 99 did, and Wayne was happy to share everything with work ethic and being ready to play. And I mean, those two guys on the ice, forget it. I mean, something's good is going to happen.
Paul, I know that you probably get questions about Gretzky and Lemieux all the time whenever you do things like this. I'm curious, though, like from your perspective, the unique one that you have, what is your relationship like with both guys? What is Wayne Gretzky to Paul Coffey? What is Mario Lemieux to Paul Coffey?
Well, I've known Wayne since I've been 14 years old. Special bond. We just buried his father a week ago, and I was there at the celebration. And me and Wayne go way, way back. So a solid friendship there. And I feel the same way with Mario. I mean, everybody's got their group of guys, but when you get together, it's just like nothing ever ended. And, Mario's the type of guy. Actually, they had the motorcade in Brantford, Ontario for Walter, and it was so touching. The kids on the street tapping their sticks, people lined up and down the streets with jersey on. And there was a guy in a 99 jersey, and his wife in a 66 Team Canada jersey. So I rolled down my window, and I said to the lady, can you please turn your back? I just want to take a picture. I'm going to send it to Mario. She probably had no idea who I was. So I did. sent it to him right away, and he got back. And, of course, got Wayne's number and sent his deepest condolences about Walter. But, no, I think my relationship with them both is very good. I mean, all hockey guys, you know, whether it be Artie, Phil Bourque, you don't have to talk to guys every day for that relationship to be solid. And that's what my relationship with those two guys.
And I can tell you firsthand that Paul comes in every year for the Lemieux fantasy hockey event that they have, which is wildly successful.
You got the hoodie on right now. Did you have to pay for that, or did Mario hook you up with that one, Bob?
That's hooked up. Okay. Because I've done some MC whenever they need it. The golf tournament was terrific, but I mean, this event is great, and Paul and all these guys come back. That shows you the appreciation they have.
Right.
Koff, I want to ask you about another thing with you, and that is your speed, because I've never seen someone skate that fast. And I know, obviously, it's God-given, but how did you become this elite skater to the point where people who were trying to stop the Penguin power play would have two guys behind the net trying to stop you before you got a head start? I mean, it was unbelievable. And I also heard stories about your shoes or your skates, how tight they were. Mm. How did you get to be that fast?
Well, again, I'd like to sit here and tell you I worked harder than everybody else, but that's not true. I mean, I had talent, obviously, a God-given ability to skate. I did work hard on it. I made sure my conditioning was good. I made sure I rode the bike. I made sure if by chance that puck got dumped down three times in the power play that I still have enough gas to go get it and bring it up. And, you know, that's like asking Mario, how are you such a great player? How are you so smart? I mean, a lot of it's God-given talent. I knew what I did well. I knew what my somewhat job was to make it easier on 66, to make it easier on 99, to get that puck inside the blue line or hit them with that long pass so they could do what they did best, and it worked out.
But the skates, I heard you had like this really small skate that you jammed your foot into, and I don't know if that's true or not, and I also don't know what benefit it would be other than you're going to end up with feet problems as you get older.
Well, feet problems, back problems, but it, you know, you got to remember, Bob, in those days, the skates they weren't great. They were soft. I mean, I don't know. They weren't like they were now. Are nowadays. I think nowadays they're too stiff. And, you know, so I played a risky game, as you know. I played a speed game. And if I turned left, I needed that skate to come with me. I didn't need it wobbly. I didn't need it breaking down on me or loose. And so I hit them. I had my skates tight. I got hooked up with a guy in Lawrenceville, PA, Bucky Palermo. God bless him. He passed away a couple of years ago. A super little Italian shoemaker that we all used to send our stuff to, our gloves, our skates. He used to custom make them and stitch them in the right areas to make it better on the ice. And that was important to me. I had to have something that fit nice and tight. I mean, I don't have a big foot anyway, but I needed that, as all guys do. I mean, Borky Stitch, as Yarmer was big into it, you know, Ronnie, Lemario, everybody. I mean, your skate is the most important part of my equipment. The sticks didn't matter. My skates felt good. I could use a broom. Didn't matter.
It's the Hometown Roofing Pop and Pony podcast powered by Bowser Chevrolet. Paul, for people that are a little bit younger like myself that, you know, don't remember your entire career vividly, like the 80s parts, and are looking at maybe today's NHL a little bit more, who are the guys in the NHL in 2021 who maybe remind you of yourself, that have some of the qualities and attributes and playing style that when you watch and turn on a game, you say, you know what, this guy kind of reminds me a little bit of Paul Coffey?
Well, there's some great players. There really is. I mean, for me personally, you know, you got Connor, which I've said all the time is, you know, you want to be the best? There's a guy in Pittsburgh that's going nowhere. You know, Sid's a consummate pro, shows up every night. There are some defensemen. Mm-hmm. I remember a couple of years ago doing an interview with a guy in Ottawa about Carlson because he's having a great year. What did I think? And I said, that's great. But let's see if he can do it again and again and again. And that part of the game, I kind of see, but I don't see enough. I mean, because now I'm strictly a fan.
Yep.
So I want to see these guys consistent. I remember when Oh, the kid in Washington. I think he just retired. He was in Edmonton Green. He was on a tour. He was on a torrid pace quite a few years ago, and he was going to get 40 goals, which he never did. And they asked me my opinion. I said, I think it's great, but you got to do it consistently. So, who reminds me of Mario? Nobody. Who reminds me of me? And it's not an arrogant comment. Nobody. Who's like Wayne? Nobody. Who's like Sid? Nobody. Well, there's a lot of good players. I think there's greatness in there, but I like them to be really, really consistent year after year, year after year. And that's when you can be compared to the guys in our era. But you got to remember, in our era, you had to score. You had to score. You had to entertain. You had to be consistent to get paid.
Yeah, there's no question. I think a guy like Connor McDavid's such a special talent, but I think ultimately, he's got to get into the playoffs, do well, don't you think? Or is that overrated too? A lot of people, sometimes you can't be responsible for the rest of your team, but I mean, he's going to have to put up those kind of.
Well, he's got another MVP there with him too, with Draisaitl.
Right, those two together. But I'm saying, in order to get the kind of love that I think people are looking for when their careers are over, you're going to have to do that, don't you, Paul?
Well, there's responsibility on two parts. There's responsibility for the player to be as good as he can be, which Connor and Leon are doing out west. And then there's the responsibility of the organization to surround them with players.
Yeah.
Which whatever, Eddie did, let's call it bringing me in. Craig did, getting Ronnie and Alfie and Grant to trade from Archer. I mean, Mario, as great as he is, can only do so much.
Right.
You need great players around you, and your window is very, 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 very long but short. Because at some point the player will get mad, and the guys in Edmonton and Sid the same way. I mean, that's the reason why Sid makes the money he makes. He wants the team to be great around him. He's willing to take a little bit less, and that's a special part about him, to win championships. He's got three of them now. His legacy is times 10. His Olympic medals a whole bit, but I truly believe Connor can lift a team, but he needs the guys around him to get better as well. Him and Leon are pretty special, but a hockey team, a visiting team, can stop two players. They just can't.
When Paul Coffey looks at a defenseman like Chris Letang, what does he see?
I like Chris. I like Chris from day one. I got put into the Penguin Hall of Fame moons ago, and I was in the Civic Arena. I was upstairs doing a little play-by-play with Bob Erie. And he said to me, who do you like? I think it was Chris's first year. And I said, him. He goes, who? I said, 58. I like the way he plays. I said, there's a lot of talent. There's a lot of risk. There's a lot of positive stuff. I mean, you can say what you want about a player like that, that, he's doing this or doing what, but he's got three Stanley Cups. He's a huge part of them. They're going to end up doing what they're going to do with him. Hopefully he retires a Penguin. But I like him. He can skate. He can shoot. He's tough. I had a meeting with him. I didn't have a meeting with him. I was in the dressing room with Talk years ago when Rick was there, and just standing there. And then Chris came in. He's very confident with Rick, comfortable with Rick. And he's like, I get on the power play and I get across. I do this. I do that. I know I should be doing something different. And I said to him, Chris, when you walk to Gino, it doesn't have to go back to Sid every time. And it's the same thing they have in Edmonton. Sometimes they overpass to Connor. That puck needs to go to the net, because every team in the league knows you're going to put the puck back there. He goes, I know, but they wanted this. I said, well, of course they want it, because they're great players. That's what makes Sid and Gino and these guys great. They want the puck. But if you got the puck from 87, you shoot the puck, and Thornquist, when he was here, or somebody else in front of the net, tips it in. I said, read me the goal. Thornquist from Letang and Crosby. I said, so everybody's happy. I said, you need to be a stronger personality back there, which he's become. And, because a lot of times it's good and bad to play with great players, but you got to be stronger yourself, especially those guys up front. Yes, you should get them the puck, 100% you can. But you can't overpass it in. You got to get the puck to the net. And I think Chris has developed that. And he's got a streak to his game. I like him. I do. I like him.
Goff, you've had an opportunity to spend time with a lot of people, a lot of players, all different personalities. You mentioned Yager, who is a unique individual. I always found it fun dealing with him. Kevin Stevens was another one. Who was the craziest guy you ever played with?
Oh, wow, what a question.
Because there have been a few, I'm sure.
Yeah, there is. I mean, geez, you should have sent me a little prep. Here's what, you know what I always found the most important on the team? Wasn't the LeMieux, wasn't the Yagers, wasn't the, you know, Ryan Francis. It was the character guys.
Yeah.
The guys that brought laughter to the room. You know, we had in Edmonton, we had, you know, five or six Hall of Famers now, but it was, you know, God bless me, Stassaway, the Dave Semenko, the Dave Hunter, the Kevin McClellans, who was a Penguin himself. The funny guys that came in the dressing room that brought humor to the room. Borky was always a personality. I remember we chatted about this. I was on Phil's radio station last week when, you know, he went in on a breakaway and turned the stick over. I don't know if you remember that. We tried to beat the goalie with the stick turned over on the puck and came back to the bench, and Mario just looked at him and said, "We don't do that here." we don't showboat. But Borky was a good personality. Alfie was phenomenal. Artie was big. I don't mean physically, he was big, but he was just big. He was big and he was loud, he was boisterous. And when him and Rex and Johnny Cullen came in, they brought a different element to our team. They brought some youth, they brought some excitement. You know, those guys are, you know, Mario's going to do what he does on the ice every game. Sid's going to do what he does ice on the game. But there's pressure on those guys every day to perform. So the other guys need to be loose and be having fun. And those guys are always, always important. The joke tellers, the one-off guys, the guys that aren't afraid to go out at night, blow some steam off. Those guys are a very important part of the team.
Very important.
You're one of those guys,
very
Bob.
Important.
You'll go out and blow some steam off
You
got to
do
time.
It. You know, I get done late. I have nothing, you know. There used to be places that stayed open late night. Now, of course, we don't do that here now in this situation. But, man, I'm sure, Coffee, you remember some of those. There were some after-hours places.
Oh, yeah?
I think you need to do that. And even people like, you know, sportscasters, you got to let it off once in a while, you know.
You got it, man. And as long as you're willing to come to work the next day and lace your boots up and go to work, that's the best for the most
of us. Great time. Hey, Paul, I wonder you're on
it.
Yeah. I wonder your honest.
Go ahead, sorry.
I'm sorry. I want to get your honest opinion on this. We just had Mike Sullivan win his 300th game here the other night. In your honest opinion, how important is the head coach at the NHL level? How much impact does a head coach have on a team?
It's the most important piece, other than the players. But answer me now. I'll give you a question. Answer me now. What makes a good coach?
I would say someone who understands the talent he has and will, you know, will plan accordingly based on the talent.
Puts him in a position
to
succeed.
You can't have a trap team if you have a bunch of skilled players or whatever, right?
Yep. You're bang on. But to me, always, and I'm a players guy, even though I don't play anymore. What makes a good coach is good players. Which ties into exactly what you did. You understand what you have? I mean, Sully came in. He had a no-nonsense attitude. You know, him and Jimmy were making trades. They brought up all these guys from Scranton. You guys didn't even know who they were. I didn't know who they were.
Yeah.
These guys are legitimate, great NHL players right now. And, you know, Sully, I've talked to him a few times coming to Pittsburgh, Mike, but I don't know him that well. But deserves a ton of credit because he's adapted. You adapt to what you have. And you still, the biggest thing as a coach is you have to make the game fun. You've got to make it fun for the players, and you got to give them credit that maybe they get it. You can't overly drill them every day and prepare. At some point, they're going to get tired, not physically, just mentally between the ears. And I think that, 300 wins for Sully, that's incredible. I mean, that's unreal. Okay, so he's got Sid, he's got a good team, but so what? Everybody's up to beat the Pittsburgh Penguins every single night. And to keep your team engaged and keep them happy and keep them invigorated and talk to them and listen to them is very important. And I think that's the important part of a coach.
I think that's extremely well said, because it has to happen. And if it doesn't happen, you can see guys get fired all the time for those kinds of reasons. Koff, I just wanted to say thanks for your time here today. Andrew, one of the things that people don't understand is he had 48 goals once in a season for a defenseman.
Oh, yeah.
He never, like, twice over 40. And he almost, didn't you almost win a Stanley Cup in Detroit, too? And I don't know how many teams would have won Stanley Cups in three different cities as a player, but you came close to that, which is one of those things that not a lot of people talk about, but pretty impressive stuff.
Wolves is only good in horseshoes and hand grenades. And funny thing is, once they traded me for Detroit, then they won. So there you go. But no, I had a lot of fun. Pittsburgh, thanks for having me on the interview, because always is one of my special places. Made some incredible friends, the Perryman brothers that come to Mario's fantasy camp every year, and just people in that city are great. I've always got a lot of time and really enjoy going back. And I'm glad the Penguins are still going. I mean, as long as you got 87 on that team, man, good things are going to happen.
Goff, appreciate the time, man. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I'm glad I've gotten to know you over the years, and thank you for being so willing to do this.
Yeah,
man.
Thank you, Paul.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
You've been listening to the Hometown Roofing Pomp and Pony Podcast. Hometown Roofing, put your trust in us at Powered by Bowser Chevrolet. Join us each week for another Hometown Roofing Pomp and Pony Podcast.